for joining us. We're going to go ahead and get started. Today is Destination Health, and we're going to do 1 or 2 hours, depending on the call volume. In the second hour, we may get to some general questions. It just depends. So let me take a look at calls right now. They're starting to come in pretty heavy. Looks like we've got a lot of questions lining up early. So if you want to get in either the first or second hour health or general question, I would press 1 on your phone as soon as possible, and I'll keep you updated as far as where we are on calls. We're going to go ahead and get started.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs,
back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and this is Destination Health. My co-host is Kim Cockerham, and we're here to take your calls and answer your questions about everything health. We've been lied to, and it's killing us. Kim and I are here to help you break through to the truth and reach your health destiny. I'm a nutritional therapy practitioner, and Kim is an Ironman triathlete. She's also on her way to becoming a nutritional therapy consultant as well. We believe that the key to a long, healthy, vibrant life starts with a properly prepared, nutrient-dense, whole food diet. We'll take your calls and answer your questions about food, nutrition, weight loss, disease, training, prescription drugs, and so much more. And of course, we'll wrap it all around that trucking lifestyle. We're going to get to your calls and questions in just a little bit. Kim, welcome back to the best hour of the week.
It is. So glad to be here, Kevin.
So I have got a ton of stuff today, and I see we've already got a lot of calls and questions,
yeah.
So we should probably get right to it. Couple things I'm working on. Well, an update. One of the things we've heard from people, they go on a keto diet, they see tons of benefits, they lose weight, they sleep better, they feel better, aches and pains go away, blood sugar's under control, just so many benefits. And one of the things we've heard from a couple people is, well, you know, I have high blood pressure and it's still high. And what should I do? And there are a couple things we can do as far as adjusting diet. Getting a good mineral balance in is good for blood pressure. But the other thing I will tell people is just time. And the cleaner you eat and the longer you do it, the more blood pressure responds. I want to give you some results. So I actually had what doctors considered low blood pressure most of my life. Every time I would get a physical or get my blood pressure checked, somebody would comment that it was really low. But it wasn't low enough that it caused any problems. I didn't get dizzy when I stood up or, you know, anything like that. So they said it's a good thing. Then I noticed, though, starting in about my 40s, it started going up every year. Now, it never got to the point where I thought it was a problem. I certainly wasn't considering any medication, but right before I started the grain-free step, I bought a blood pressure monitor, one of the automatics, and I just started checking my own. And I was running some days in the 130 range over almost 90. You know, they say 120 over 80 is about ideal. And I had always been under that. Well, then I noticed that I was now consistently over that. Not enough that I was worried, but I was in the one, a typical blood pressure reading for me would have been 135 over 90 or so, slightly elevated. But the concern was that it was getting worse every year, just a little bit. But the interesting thing was I haven't checked it in a long time, and I decided to check it starting about a week ago. I've been checking every day. I am consistently now running around 111 over 70.
Wow.
And I'm I always recommend, you know, exercise and meditation will help blood pressure. I'm not doing either one. I haven't done any exercise in probably 6 months, and I haven't been meditating either. Now I'm going to get back to both of those. So that is diet alone. I haven't changed anything else, and my blood pressure dropped pretty dramatically, and that's been over about a year and a half.
Well, and you know what? That's just such a good thing. We're just so, and a lot of people are just anxious. We want quick results, especially when we're talking blood pressure and blood sugar and weight and health, but it is a process. And I've had to try to embrace that as well, because I want results now. And that's what I hear from people as well. Because if we don't have quick things, it's like, okay, now what should I do? And maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's keep doing what you're doing, you know, and see where it goes.
Yeah, if you're doing the right things, if you're eating a clean mm-hmm. diet, keto or paleo, or if you're doing the right things, just keep doing them. We have to remember that, and I think I'm a good example, because most of my life I had low blood pressure. But then within about a decade, from 40 to 50, it changed. It went to slightly higher than optimal. And that was 50 years of living that did that. So, you know, we think we can reverse 50 years of living in 50 days. We can make really good strides, but I think the lesson here, stick to it, because things continue to get better.
Yeah. Very good. Cool. Good job with your blood pressure. That's awesome.
Yeah. So now I've been working on an idea this week. I'm not sure where I'm going with this yet, but I'm looking at something, and I don't know if I like this term yet or not, if I'm going to find another one. Right now I'm calling it functional food. So, you know, the first part of this journey was mostly about eliminating bad foods out of our diet, getting rid of processed foods, getting rid of high sugar foods, getting rid of grains, getting rid of foods high in omega-6s. So it was mostly about eliminating foods. And I've been doing that for a while, and I'm seeing tremendous benefits. Now what I've been thinking about is, okay, what kind of food should I be eating regularly, either every day or a couple times a week, in order to make my health optimal? You know, what could I be doing better? And, you know, one of the things we know we're short on is omega-3s. So I started looking at ways to add more omega-3s back in. Minerals can sometimes be tough to get on our diet. There are some superfoods that we know are really good for us, but, you know, we don't always eat them. So I'm looking for ways to create functional food in a way to make sure we eat it as often as we should be, if that's every day or two or three times a week or whatever it might be. And, you know, I got looking at bulletproof coffee. You know, we talk about it. It's a good source of energy, and it helps us lose weight, and it controls our hunger. But I got looking at the way I make my bulletproof coffee. So now it has grass-fed butter, that's short-chain fatty acids, which we don't get a lot of in our diet. It has coconut oil or brain octane, medium-chain triglycerides, which we don't get a lot. So those are kind of functional foods. I put in raw cocoa, which is an excellent source of antioxidants and minerals. That's a functional food. I put in the collagen gelatin, which is really good for bones and skin and connective tissue. And I put in the light balance, which again is mineral balance. So that, you know, is a really functional food. And the cool thing about it is I have a habit. I drink 2 cups every day. I'm going to change that a little bit now. So I know that I'm getting those functional foods every single day. And I thought, well, why don't I do more of that? Why don't I find other foods that I would eat every day and to fulfill a, you know, a specific nutritional requirement? So I started looking at some ideas on tonics and things like that. So what I'm trying right now, and I just started again this week, is one of the things we need. We've talked about habits and triggers, And the bulletproof coffee is easy. The trigger is I wake up. When I wake up, I want a cup of coffee. If I make it bulletproof, then I have a functional food that I'm eating every day and I don't even have to think about it. So I thought, do I really need two cups of it? I enjoy it. I like it. But what if I, when I feel that kind of craving for the second cup, what if I drink something else then instead and, you know, fulfill other nutritional needs? So I worked on a kind of a tonic. So I just take hot water. I put in 2 tablespoons of raw apple cider vinegar, 2 tablespoons of either lemon or lime juice. Both of those are high in vitamin C and they help alkalize the body. The apple cider vinegar has good bacteria. It's really good for blood sugar control. It's alkalizing as well. I put in another capful of Light Balance just because it's good to get our minerals. And I grate in some fresh ginger. Fresh ginger has a ton of health benefits. And then I throw in some cayenne. Again, some blood sugar control, some inflammation control, some antioxidants. You can put in a little cinnamon. And I drink it like a tea in place of my second bulletproof. Because again, there's a trigger there. I know that about 2 hours or 3 hours after I drink my first cup, I get a craving for another one. So there's my trigger. And but I'm replacing, instead of duplicating what I just drank a couple hours ago, getting a different functional food in. So there's the music. We're going to get to a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the functional food idea. And then I've got a book review, a quick one on the book Go Wild. Then we'll get to your calls and questions. Stick around. Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Kim is here with me. This is Destination Health, and we're talking about functional food. So, Kim, I'm still kind of working through this idea, but I'm making a list of foods that will really help with things that are hard to get in our standard diet, and then ways to make sure we eat them every day. And, you know, the trigger of waking up, the bulletproof coffee, for me, the second cup, now I'm switching to a tonic. One of the other foods that are nutrients that is tough to get, and even more so when we start eating paleo, is iodine. And I noticed that every person I've done the iodine skin test on fails. So virtually everybody seems to be deficient in iodine. Our source of it was table salt. They put iodine in table salt because it is so hard to get in our diet. But table salt's junk, so we tell people not to eat that. But if you switch to sea salt, you get a lot of minerals, but you don't get any iodine. So I started thinking, how should I just take an iodine supplement? But I'd rather get stuff from food than supplements. So I found a line of, and I'm not going to give anybody the name yet because I'm still working on this. I found a line of seaweed snacks. Now, I know this probably freaks people out again because, you know, we're not really big on eating seaweed. But I found a line that is really, really good. Like, this stuff is addicting. They take seaweed. It's nori. It's the same stuff they wrap sushi with. But they dry it, so it's crunchy and light and crispy. And then they use some real clean seasonings on it. There's no junk in here. And I have a couple of flavors of this. And honestly, once I start on a bag, I have to put it away or I'll just eat the whole thing, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But again, this would be one of those things I tell drivers, don't keep snacks close to you when you're driving because you have a habit of just eating them all because you're just sitting there with nothing to do. But this would be one, if we find functional snacks, then I would say keep them right next to you. That way you're going to eat them every day. So I think that's a really good idea, and I'm working on some products for that. The other one I found, you know, we talk about properly prepared. And most of the time people think of that when it comes to grains and some other things. And I say, well, if you just skip the grains, you don't have to worry about all that work. But honestly, if we wanted the most nutrition out of the nuts and seeds that we eat, there is a step we should be doing with those too. It's called soaking and sprouting. So when you take a nut, it does have some anti-nutrients in it, just like grains do. Not as much, so I don't think it's a huge problem. But if we soak those nuts overnight and then you drain off that water, it takes the anti-nutrients away, the phytic acid and some of the other things. But then what you have is a bunch of soggy nuts and seeds. So now what you have to do is it also does something else. Not only does it take away the anti-nutrients, it sprouts the nut and seed. And nuts and seeds are dormant until they meet the right conditions, and then they sprout and they become the new plant. So the reason nuts and seeds are so nutritious is they contain everything in them that that plant needs to become a full, healthy plant. The problem is they're kind of locked up when they're dormant. When we soak them, they sprout and they release all those nutrients. So soaking and sprouting is a really, really good step for nuts and seeds. It's just a lot of work because after you soak them overnight, now they're all soggy. You have to dehydrate them, which takes 8 to 10 hours in a dehydrator. That's a lot of work. I mean, I do a lot when it comes to food. I make a lot from scratch, but I just have not been able to get into the habit of soaking and sprouting all my nuts and seeds. But I found a line of trail mix and mixed nuts that are all soaked and sprouted for you. And they've got some really cool flavors on their trail mix too. So I'm working on that as well. And all of these things, it's kind of like what we did with trucks. I don't want to find just a seaweed snack. I want to find the best seaweed snack. So I'm in the process of testing and, you know, checking nutrition and you know, where they're sourcing all their products from. And once we pick the best in each category, we're going to get this stuff into our store.
I think the Tribe Care team needs a little focused tasting here.
Yes. Yeah, I think so too. That sounds like fun. We'll do a bunch of taste testing. So that's kind of the whole functional food idea. You know, we've eliminated a lot of bad foods. Now let's focus on adding back in foods to address a specific nutritional need.
And you know what, when you said that, because, you know, we're building everything for people to share too, that whole thing you said about the functional medicine and the things, not in functional medicine, which goes in line with that, functional food.
Right.
And then it was a brilliant, the thing you said about what should we determine for ourselves, because it'll all be individual, but yet you would have still things, recommendations of what we should have every day. And that takes out half of the guesswork sometimes. So I sent a note over to Brittany. I said, add that to our outline for the book we're doing. We want to do.
Good. Yeah, exactly.
That and the triggers is awesome.
Yeah, and I'm also looking at some of the foods that we know are really, really good for us. A lot of people have a hard time with them. Beef liver, obviously, is incredibly nutritious, but a lot of people are just freaked out about liver. So I'm also looking at ways to make these foods more palatable. I found a really easy one. The cod livers, we've talked about those, and those really freak people out, but they are so loaded with nutrients that we don't get in our diet. I found a really easy way to hide that. I take, and this would be easy on the road because the cod livers come in a can, They have a long, long shelf life, so they're easy to store. And then you can buy really good pre-prepared guacamole. So I find a lot of guacamole in the store that there's no junk in it. It's exactly the way I would make it at home. It's avocados, lime, cilantro, some peppers, no real junk. So it's easy to find good quality guacamole. And I've found if you take these cod livers and they're so soft, if you just mash them up in guacamole, it totally disguises the taste.
I'll have to try that. Then you got to come up with one with sardines for me.
That's the kind of stuff I'm working on. So real, okay. Real quick. Yeah. Real quick. The book review for this week, Go Wild. This is actually one of my favorite books. I went back and looked through all the books I read, and it wasn't so much that I learned a lot from this book. I certainly learned things, but I just enjoyed it. There's two different authors, you get two different perspectives, and there was just something really enjoyable about this book. So I would highly recommend this one. Again, it's called Go Wild. And it's along the same lines as the whole primal movement, the primal blueprint. Rebecca now is a primal certified coach. The idea of eating paleo is one, one way, or eating primal, and those two are really close to each other. But the primal blueprint and the book Go Wild take it to our entire lifestyle. Not just food. Food, there's a big focus on food because that is the biggest thing we can change. But there's a lot in this book about how we live every day. You know, doing things that are closer to the way we evolved and not so civilized. Our civilized life is causing most of our problems. We certainly know that civilized food is causing us problems, but something as simple as the fact that we tend to wear shoes all the time with rubber soles or plastic or some synthetic material, and that's not natural. For all of evolution, we walked around in bare feet, and there's something to that. It connects us to the earth. It provides us with antioxidants. And even when we started wearing footwear, it was almost always made of leather. And leather is actually okay. Leather doesn't block the contact we're getting from the earth. It doesn't insulate us from the earth. So they talk a lot about getting outside barefoot. And it's something I do a lot of. I hardly ever wear shoes anymore. And it talks about natural movement. One of the really interesting things that I learned in this book was about sleep. And a lot of people in today's world have sleep issues. Well, they talked about ways to improve sleep and getting back to the way we were naturally. But there was one really interesting piece about this. And I'm going to share that when I get back, and then we're going to get to the calls and questions. So stick around.
Okay.
Right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. We're going to get to some phone calls here in a second. Kim and I are talking about the book Go Wild. Kim, this is one of the things I found fascinating. We know that people in different age groups have different sleep patterns. The one that's been talked about a lot are teenagers. And this isn't, you know, sometimes we criticize them, but because it's happening to all of them, there's a biological reason. And we talk about teenagers, they don't like to go to bed early. They'll stay up till 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, and they don't like to get up early. They would sleep until noon or one. And you know, we kind of say, well, they're just lazy or they want to party or whatever, but there's a biological reason that that happens during those teen years. We also know that babies have a pretty distinct sleep pattern. They tend to sleep in short periods of time and wake up a lot, but they almost sleep around the clock. They nap a lot. It's very common for babies. We know that as people get older into their 60s and 70s, their sleep patterns change. They tend to sleep less. They tend to maybe go to bed earlier and get up earlier. And, you know, in our middle age, we have a specific sleep pattern. And you start to think, why is it so different? Why does our sleep pattern change so much throughout our life? Well, they do a great piece in the book, and they talk about the way we used to live. We used to live together as families. We stayed together as families most of our life. So you might have babies all the way up through seniors, and you might have two or three generations living together. Remember, we lived outside when we were wild before civilization, and we were not at the top of the food chain. There were things that would eat us. You know, there were lots of animals that could eat us. So we had to worry about, especially when you're sleeping, you're very vulnerable. So they talked about how we, first off, we discovered fire, and fire was very protective at night. But it, you have to keep it burning all night. That keeps predators away. But the interesting thing about these sleep schedules and everybody being so different, when you would look at a tribe or a clan or a group sleeping outdoors around a fire, vulnerable to predators, there was always somebody awake, somebody to tend the fire, somebody to watch for the predators. And that's why we have these wildly different sleep cycles. If we all slept in at the same time at night, we would be incredibly vulnerable to predators. So somebody was always awake in the tribe. And I just found that fascinating that it worked that way.
Mm-hmm. That sure is. Yeah. And it's so true. I think all of us are probably nodding our head when you're giving examples leading up to that, because that's fascinating.
Yeah, and it, we haven't gotten rid of that. I mean, after, you know, hundreds or thousands of years of being civilized and not worrying about predators, that's still in us. Biologically, we have not been able to overcome that. So that's a pretty powerful force. But the book has just a ton of examples of comparing how we evolved and how we live now, and it's so different. And our body, I mean, obviously it takes tens of thousands of years to change ourselves biologically like that. So what we have to realize is someday, maybe, you know, 50,000 years from now, maybe people will be able to eat grains and wear shoes all the time and live indoors, and maybe our bodies will adapt to it. But it's not going to happen in our lifetime or our kids' lifetime or our grandkids' lifetime. So we need to learn how to rewild, how to live as wild as possible in a civilized world if we want to be optimally healthy.
Yeah, nice. Like it. I haven't read that book yet, but I had wrote it down after you had mentioned that last week, and it just makes us take a whole different perspective on things. Find a way to
there's some really good ideas in there on kind of how to rewild and live wild in a civilized world. So what do you say we take some phone calls?
Absolutely. There's some good ones. They all are
right.
But these are I love this.
Let's go to Pennsylvania. Susan, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. Thank you for having me on your show.
You're welcome. What can I help you with today?
I just recently came from a doctor's appointment where they've done some blood work. Her concern mainly was is that I formed blood clots after surgery. So we went through the whole big panel of all the anticoagulants. And in the process, she found out that my bad cholesterol is a little high and I don't have a gallbladder. And she also told me to come off the ox bile. So I'm just trying to figure out things that I can do to remain healthy. I've lost 18 pounds with a change of my diet. But this is all recent. And she was like, you know, stop the ox bile, stop taking, I was doing protein shakes, and just follow more of the nutritional, I saw a nutritionist while I was there, avenue.
Okay. So, let me give you my number one piece of advice to be healthy. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from the medical community.
I wish.
So let's talk about a couple things specifically. Did she give you a reason why you shouldn't take the ox bile?
She said that they put chemicals in things that they're, you know, that they don't know about. And I've looked at the ox bile and the only thing on there is bile.
That's exactly. Right. So, so she's just wrong. I mean, yeah, there are junk supplements out there and they do put a lot of garbage in some of them, but that's not a reason to not take any. That's a reason to seek out a better quality. And it sounds like you have a great quality. It's just ox bile. There's nothing else in it. I actually like a supplement that has ox bile and some liver support, you know, some beet extract and some other things. But ox bile alone is solving your problem. See, it makes me crazy that they take out the gallbladder and then don't help. I mean, it's gone. It doesn't function anymore. We have to replace that functioning. And I'll tell you, there's a good chance that your bad cholesterol being elevated is directly tied to the fact that you're not digesting your fats properly. And that's what the ox bile will do. Over time, you'll digest your fats better. And good quality fats, if you're digesting them, will improve all of your cholesterol numbers. So I would not stop the ox bile. That is really, really bad advice. And she didn't even address why you were taking it. I honestly don't think doctors understand this. I mean, I just don't get it. All she was concerned about was, well, they put some chemicals in there. Well, no, they don't. Not in all of them. So let's talk about why you're taking it. You're taking it because without it, you can't digest fats properly. So I would absolutely ignore that advice. Now, what else there was another concern. What was the next one? We had the cholesterol.
Well, it was in the gallbladder. Yes, my good cholesterol was fine. My bad cholesterol is a little elevated. And then I have an issue with the lupus anticoagulants. With the testing, I formed 3 blood clots after surgery. So, of course, concerned because I am a truck driver. So they put me on Lovenox. And I will have to retest because that particular one came back as indecisive. All of my other tests that they ran that day were perfect. So,
see, here's the thing.
So
far, I'm not hearing anything that you're suffering from. I also think there was some issues with fatty liver disease.
Yes, and the fatty liver. It's just starting also.
So, and I've heard doctors, and again, this makes me crazy. When they see somebody with fatty liver disease, they want to put them on a low-fat diet. It is the worst thing you can do. What you need to do, because fat does not cause fatty liver. I know there's that, you know, we think it's common sense. Oh, if you have too much fat around your liver, stop eating fat. It doesn't work that way. We know what causes fatty liver disease, and it's too much fructose specifically. It's too much sugar in the diet, but specifically fructose, because fructose is processed differently than other sugars. Fructose gets processed and stored by the liver, and the liver stores it as fat. We know that. We absolutely know that. So the idea is to cut down carbs and sugars, and specifically fructose, to address the fatty liver disease, not cutting out fat. We're going to come right back to that right after this. Stick around. Kevin Rutherford. All right, a quick heads up. We're heading into the final segment here, but we are going to come back and do another hour. We have lots of questions, so we're going to get to them right after this. Don't hang up after this segment. We'll come back and do another one. Here we go. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Kim's here with me. This is Destination Health, and we're talking with Susan in Pennsylvania. So, Susan, I did hear one piece of advice that they gave that I actually agree with. Do you want to know what it is?
What was that?
Stop the protein shakes. They're not necessary at all. In fact, on a keto diet, we tend to get too much protein. So you've got to watch even protein in our food. But we don't really want to add any protein. And most protein shakes just have a lot of junk in them. I mean, if somebody needed more protein, and that's pretty rare, I would recommend a real simple smoothie with nothing but a good, clean protein, a whey protein powder. But I would not recommend that for you. You do not need more protein. So I would stop the and everything else I'm hearing, I am not hearing anything that isn't going to resolve itself over time if you're eating a good, clean paleo diet. Doesn't necessarily have to be keto. If keto is working for you, that's excellent. But women tend to do better on more of a paleo diet. You don't have to restrict your carbs quite as much, but you want to make sure they're good carbs. Lots of vegetables. You can do some more starchy sweet potatoes, rutabagas, carrots, things like that. But all you really need to do to resolve everything you're dealing with is eat a good, clean paleo diet. And the longer you eat it, the better all of these things are going to get.
Okay. And then also, how about the fermented?
Absolutely. You can't go wrong with fermented vegetables. So add as many of those into your diet as you can, and focus on fermented vegetables, because that way you're going to get the good probiotics, the good bacteria. You're also going to get a lot of prebiotics in the vegetables, and a lot of nutrients that will be really good for you. You could also add kombucha and kefir and some other things if you can handle dairy. But focus primarily on the fermented vegetables. And Kim, that brings up another thing I wanted to mention today. You sent over a really good video from, was it the Today Show, I think?
Yeah, and I posted it out on the Destination Health site too. I had never heard of that Dr. Frank Lipman, but he's got a really cool site and some books out there too.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of him either, so I'm going to look at some of his stuff. And he talked about fermented vegetables. He talked about good fats. He talked about eating plenty of fat with your vegetables. I mean, he was right on track with a lot of things. There was one thing that I wished they would clarify. He pointed to a bowl of sauerkraut on the table, and he was talking about fermented vegetables, and he said sauerkraut. The problem with that is 99% of the sauerkraut on the market is not fermented. And I wish they would make that clear. The commercial sauerkraut on the market is just cabbage and salt, and or they use vinegar, and it's pickled. It's not fermented. It's like saying pickles are fermented. Well, 99% of them aren't. They're pickled with vinegar. We want them to be truly fermented. And I want people to understand that pickles and sauerkraut, unless they say raw fermented on the label, they're not. They're pickled. And if they're pickled, they're virtually worthless. I mean, there's very, very little nutrition in commercial sauerkraut or commercial pickles. You want fermented sauerkraut and fermented pickles. But his stuff looks really good, so I'm going to read his book. Let's get to Ohio. Herschel, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Hey, Kim.
Hey there.
Well, I guess Kim forwarded on to you my short autobiography to try to give you a little bit more detail on my problem, and now I'm asking, what do you think?
I am ready for you. We are going to fix this.
Let me have it.
All right, so I have a couple recommendations for you. Are you somewhere where you can stand up and do something, or are you driving?
I will be in a couple of minutes. I just pulled into the NS Railroad, so won't be but a couple of minutes that I could.
Okay, so I'll explain it to you. It's pretty simple. This is actually part of our functional evaluation, and I don't know if your NTP did this one or not. Did your NTP test you for hydration?
She did zero functional evaluation of any kind.
Okay, so this is part of the functional evaluation, but this one you can actually do yourself. It's really simple, and it tests for hydration. So anybody listening right now can do this. Take your right hand and hold it down at your side. Just let it hang there at your side for a minute or so. 30 seconds is fine. And for most people, you'll notice that the veins on the back of your hand, when your hand is just resting straight down, they kind of pop out. They become really visible. And while it's down there, feel them. Kind of press on them with your fingertip, and you feel some resistance, and they pop right back out when it's hanging down. Then what you're going to do is you're going to slowly start raising your right hand up in front of you until it's shoulder height, so it's sticking straight out in front of you, and then find that vein and push on it again. And if you're well hydrated, it will feel exactly like it did when it was hanging. If you're not hydrated at all, they'll virtually disappear. If you're somewhere in between, you'll be able to see them, but when you press on them, they won't hardly respond at all. You won't kind of feel them pushing back. And the reason we're doing that is because hydration is really important to keeping everything moving through our digestive system. So it's a real simple thing to test. And if you're not fully hydrated, if your vein doesn't feel the same up as it does down, then you just need to make sure you start drinking more good, clean water. That's step number one, because it's easy, doesn't cost anything, and that can help a lot. I looked at your typical day of eating. Very good keto diet, but you're just not getting much vegetation. And you've got to get more vegetation, more leafy greens, more broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, leeks. So you've got to get more vegetation into your diet right now. And you want to eat about half of it raw and half of it cooked. And that also includes the fermented veggies. They count. So there's kind of three ways we can eat veggies: raw, cooked, and fermented. And ideally, I would split it about three ways. Make sure you get a little of all three every day. And then I have one recommendation on a supplement. And it's not a supplement we carry, but I sent Kim a link. Now, there are a couple different ways you can do this supplement. You can do it whole, you can do it powdered, or you can do it capsules. Capsules are the most convenient, especially on the road. What you're looking for is psyllium husk.
Psyllium husk. I've heard of that. Isn't that kind of wheat?
No, it's not. It's not a grain. It's a, I believe it's a seed. It is a plant, but I believe it's a seed that they get. The husk is from the seed itself. It's really, really good for this. Like, this will fix the problem. And it's also a prebiotic for your good gut bacteria. They love this stuff. So if you do these three things, I promise this is going to get fixed. Oh, also one more. Are you doing the light balance?
No, I'm not, but I'm standing in my back of my truck doing that deal with my hand. And yeah, when I got my hand up level, like you said, at shoulder height, that vein kind of goes away.
Yeah, you're dehydrated.
I'm drinking almost a gallon of water every day, and that's it. No, nothing else.
It's not enough. I mean, this is a pretty...
How much do I have to drink?
I don't know. And that's why I don't like the how much you're supposed to drink, because it's so different depending on the climate you're in, your activity level, if you're drinking or eating anything that's diuretic. But here's another thing. Again, when I look at your diet, again, it's very keto, but one of the places we get a lot of water from is our vegetables. They're mostly water. And if we're not eating a lot of vegetables, then we have to drink a lot more water. So you may find that right now you need to drink a lot of water to get yourself rehydrated. But if you start adding the veggies back in, you may not have to drink that much every day. So, I would look for maybe some seaweed snacks, or I would put the light balance, because we also have to make sure we keep your mineral balance right. You seem to have kind of a stubborn case, but I promise if you just do these three steps, it's going to fix it.
Okay. How much psyllium husk? I'm sure there's milligrams or something that it's measured by.
Yeah, roughly. And you can play around with this, whatever works for you. I would start with about 500 milligrams to 1,000 a day and see how it works for you and experiment with it. But this is going to take care of it, promise. In fact, you might be fixed by the time we talk next week. Kim, we're all out of time.
Wow, already. Oh, my gosh, you guys.
I know. Crazy. We'll have to see you back here next time. Be safe. Be profitable. Be fit and healthy. Always do the hard work and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right, we're going to do a second hour and get to your questions. Here we go.
Your money, your taxes, your truck, and your road to success in the trucking industry.
This is Trucking Business and Beyond, the show that puts the money where it belongs.
Back in your pocket.
Welcome to my world. I'm your host, Kevin Rutherford, and this is Destination Health. My co-host is Kim Cockerham. We're here to take your calls and answer your questions about everything health. We've been lied to, and it's killing us. Kim and I are here to help you break through to the truth and reach your health destiny. We believe that the key to a long, healthy, vibrant life starts with a properly prepared, nutrient-dense whole food diet. We'll take your calls and answer your questions about food, nutrition, weight loss, disease, training, prescription drugs, and so much more. And of course, we'll wrap it all around that trucking lifestyle. Kim, welcome back to the second hour of Destination Health this week.
Yeah. So glad to be here, Kevin.
And, you know, the calls and questions keep getting, well, we keep getting more of them, and they keep getting more and more in depth, which I love, but it also means, I think the last show, we only got to two calls, show between all the stuff you and I want to talk about and book reviews. And, so I think this week, I'm not going to start with anything. I don't have a book review. Do you have something you want to start with, or should we jump into some calls?
Yeah, no, let's just jump in. We'll catch up and add something, share with people.
Yeah, let's do that. That sounds great. Let's head off to Kentucky. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Kim.
Hi, Gary.
What's on your mind today?
I have about four different items that I want to go over. I have a gal that I've been helping with the ketogenic diet up in Duluth, Minnesota, and she roughly lost around 40 pounds. Found out that she doesn't have a gallbladder. She started the bile salts. She's actually listening in. She wants to know how much bile salt we should be taking when she has a meal and how often she should be eating, because I said that she needs to snack because she's got bile going into her system the whole continuously without the gallbladder. And
correct.
Then I have a couple other things, whatever, but figure sure. We'll start with that.
Yeah, let's talk about those two. First off, on how much you should take, you have to experiment and you have to kind of match the amount of bile salt to the fat in the meal. For example, if you were to eat a, kind of a low-fat meal, and once in a while, even on a keto diet, we might eat a meal that doesn't have a lot of fat in it. I try not to, but in that case, we might only want one. On the other hand, if we're going to eat a really fatty meal, then we might need two or three or four even. So you got to kind of play around. And what will happen if you take too many, you're probably going to get a mild case of diarrhea, nothing major. And you'll know maybe that was too many for that meal. So usually two or three with a substantial meal is going to be about normal. One with a smaller meal or a meal lower in fat. So that's with the meals. Now, your advice about eating more throughout the day is really good advice. But I want people to understand, we're only talking about people without a gallbladder. If you have a gallbladder, it's almost the opposite. I only eat one or two meals a day, and I concentrate those meals into a six-hour window. So I normally eat between 1 o'clock and 7 o'clock in the afternoon, early evening. And I either eat one or two substantial meals, and then I don't eat much other than that. But if you don't have your gallbladder, this is specific for people who don't have their gallbladder. What you want to do is eat a little bit of fat throughout the day. And here's one of the best ways I found to do it. Go online and Google fat bombs. Fat bombs are
fat bombs.
Oh, good. Perfect. Because fat bombs are usually like bite size. You know, I make some fat bombs that are, you know, they've got a lot of coconut oil in them. They've got nut butters in them, which are high in fat. They've got some chocolate. They've got seeds. All of those things are high in fat, but I make them into little bite sized pieces, almost like candy. They have virtually no sugar in them. They've got great minerals from the chocolate, all the benefits of coconut, all the benefits of seeds. They're high in fat, and you just pop one in your mouth. And I would keep fat bombs around if I didn't have a gallbladder, and I would snack on one here and there. That way, the bile that's being released into your system has something to work on all the time. That makes sense?
So, I mean, you're saying, you know, once in a while, I mean, once an hour, once every two hours,
Once an hour would probably be good. And, you know, the other thing we have to remember, we're all very bio individuals. So I don't like really regimented stuff. I don't want to say eat one of these every 45 minutes or every 90 minutes, or take the concept that we need a little bit of fat in our, you know, intestines all the time to work on that gallbladder, and experiment with it. Maybe it is one an hour. Maybe it's one every half hour. Maybe it's one every 2 hours. Pay attention to our body. That's a lesson I think we all need to learn, is start paying attention to how things make us feel, how foods make us feel, how the, you know, a fat bomb might help her. You know, does her digestion feel better if she eats one every hour or one every 2 hours? Kind of experiment with it, see what works.
Okay. And then the brain octane, what does that all do for you, and where do you find it?
Now, speaking of brain octane, that's a perfect thing to talk about when we're talking about gallbladder. Anybody without a gallbladder should take a second job so that they can afford to have a lot of brain octane. Because it is expensive. But here's the cool thing.
She does have two jobs. This will work perfect.
Oh, good, good. She's already set up. Here's the cool thing about brain octane. Brain octane does not require bile to digest. Even though it's a fat, brain octane is a very unique type of fat, and it does not need bile to digest. Brain octane is actually absorbed right through your small intestine. It doesn't need bile to digest it, and it doesn't have to go to the liver to be processed. And that's one of the reasons it turns into ketones so fast, because it gets absorbed immediately, and it's just a really good, clean source of energy, and it's perfect for somebody who doesn't have a gallbladder. Now, the warning, start brain octane slowly, like 1 teaspoon the first time you try it, 1 teaspoon a day. Now, I probably take, most days, I probably eat 3 or 4 tablespoons of brain octane throughout the day. I put it in my bulletproof coffee. I make salad dressing out of it. I make mayonnaise with, you know, some brain octane in it. So I really like it. It is expensive. You have to know that, but it's excellent for somebody without a gallbladder.
Okay. And then the third of the fourth items is your homemade recipe for mayonnaise.
Yes. Yes.
How do you make it?
Okay. Kim, we're going to do a video on this. Maybe we'll even...
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Maybe we'll... You know, I'm live on Facebook right now, Facebook Live. So maybe next week we'll even on the show itself. It's so easy to make. Maybe I'll just do it right on the show and then, you know, we'll have the video. But here it is real quick. Get a wide mouth mason jar, either a half quart, whatever. Half pint, even if you want to make a very small batch. It's got to be wide mouth, and you need one of those stick blenders. They're pretty cheap. You can find them just about anywhere anymore. And it's wide mouth so that the stick blender fits down inside the jar. And you have to do this in order. Crack the best quality egg you can find. Just crack a whole egg in the bottom of the jar. Then put in, and you can always play around with these ingredients. This isn't set in stone. I put in about maybe a tablespoon of apple cider vinegar or any kind of acid. I like apple cider vinegar because it has a lot of benefits. But you could put in lemon juice, lime juice, any vinegar would work. I like raw apple cider vinegar. So raw egg in the bottom, and it's got to be in this order. Apple cider vinegar, a little bit of good sea salt, and then you're going to put in about 3/4 to a cup of oil. Now, don't use seed oils. Don't use vegetable oils. You want to use a good quality fat. The best one to start with is avocado oil. It's neutral. It has virtually no taste, and it's really healthy. So you pour in, say, 3/4 of a cup to a cup. The more oil you put in, the thicker it's going to become. The less oil you put in, the thinner it's going to become. So now you've got all the ingredients kind of layered in the jar in that order. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you how to make mayonnaise in 20 seconds from this point on. Stick around. We'll be right back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Kim Cockeriam's here with me. This is Destination Health, and we were talking about making homemade mayo, which I promise you will be the best mayonnaise you've ever tasted. And the more you play around with it, you can add things like garlic and herbs and all kinds of things. But Gary, once you're at this point, the ingredients are in: egg, acid, salt, and oil. That's all we need. And you take the stick blender and make sure you push it all the way to the bottom and hold it there. Keep it on the bottom of the jar and hit the button and hold the button. And in 20 seconds, you're going to have the best mayonnaise you've ever tasted.
Great. See, now I got the gal on the other end. She wrote down the recipe, so now we got it.
Perfect. Perfect. And I saw Sarah posted a really good tip. Every once in a while, your mayonnaise won't come together. And I'm not sure. Mine works every time. But I do know that sometimes the mayonnaise won't come together. What you end up with is a bunch of ingredients on the bottom, and then the oil just sits on the top. It won't emulsify. If that happens, don't throw it away. Set it aside and make another batch. And then once you get a good batch, all you do is take like a tablespoon of the good batch, throw it in the bad batch, and hit it with the blender, and it'll come right back.
Oh, wow. All right. Now the fourth and final one is somebody that's prescribed testosterone. What are the bad parts about it, and why does somebody end up getting prescribed testosterone?
Is it a male or a female?
Male.
Okay.
And a female. I guess I got two people for that one. My daughter also. So
here's the bad part about testosterone. Everything.
Okay.
And here's why. Testosterone is a hormone. Hormones are incredibly powerful. I mean, hormones do really amazing things in our body. We should not be messing with them. We should not be using what are called exogenous hormones, meaning taking almost every instance of hormone therapy over the years has turned out to be a really, really bad idea. Like for decades, they told women during menopause, you know, estrogen therapy, hormone replacement therapy, it killed a lot of women. It was a really, really bad idea, and they don't do it. Although there are still some people that do it, but it's very well frowned on these days. That's not really done anymore. Now all of a sudden, it's the whole low testosterone thing. Why do people get prescribed testosterone? Because pharmaceutical companies want to sell more drugs. That's the only answer. We should not be prescribing testosterone to anybody. Have you ever heard some of the warnings on those things? Like the testosterone they prescribe to men is actually a topical that you put on under your arm. They tell you to be careful that somebody doesn't touch that spot. Like, you know, don't let a pregnant woman touch you if you're taking this. It's that powerful. And the side effects are horrendous. Now, are there people who have low testosterone? Yes, there are. And it causes things like fatigue, weight gain, irritability, and that can happen in men and women. But men and women have very, very different levels of testosterone, but we both need it. But again, if you eat a good, clean, paleo-type diet, you get good sleep, you're getting plenty of sunshine, and your vitamin D levels are good, and you're eating good fats because we need fat to build hormones. So why do so many people have low testosterone or low hormones? Because they've been telling us to eat low fat for so long, and we've been eating junk fats for so long. We need good quality fat to build good hormones. So if you're eating a good, clean, high-fat diet, sleeping good and getting enough vitamin D, you will have all the testosterone you need in a balance that actually works. So, Kim, isn't it just crazy all of a sudden? It's the low testosterone thing, and it's just to sell more drugs.
Yeah, Yeah, and you know, it's interesting. It goes in cycles where you see things come out now on the TV. You know, like now's all the focus. You know, it had been statins for a while. Those kind of back off a little bit. I'm trying to think of now. There's a couple now that are in the forefront. And yeah, it's just caution. Just be cautious.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to Texas, Rebecca and Melissa.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey there.
Kevin.
Hey, guys.
Hey, we got a couple of things, but first I just wanted to commit myself publicly to something so I can't quit. Rebecca held my arm behind my back and twisted it and convinced me to train for the half Ironman with her.
Oh, wow. That's exciting.
Very.
So we have a little lick. Yeah, we have a Lick Truck Tri Team.
That's right. How exciting is that?
Absolutely.
So yeah, I just did my first run last night. So.
Wow. Well, keep us informed of the training. That should be fun.
Yeah, we're going to start a Facebook page to kind of chronicle the training for both of us. From now until we decided too that we may go ahead and do the full Ironman if we survive the half. So the Facebook page should be quite entertaining with ups and downs and highs and lows and all kinds of good stuff.
Be awesome.
So, and we're going to need your help because all of this is going to be really new with paleo and keto. And I mean, I've got a lot of information on that, but this is a huge undertaking, so feel free to jump in and help.
Will do.
But not only to congratulate Melissa, but to talk about what you've been talking about with doctors. Russ has a family friend who was just diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome. Excuse me if I'm wrong, but that's pretty much a digestive order.
Yes.
And not one time, all he did, and this was a gastroenterologist, so a specialist, just prescribed medicine and told her not to eat peppers, tomatoes, or spicy food, but never once during any of the appointments asked what kind of food she ate, what her diet consisted of. Nothing along the lines of diet whatsoever.
It's incredible. They have a one-track mind. You have a symptom, we have a drug.
I mean, you would think a digestive order, you would want to find out what's being digested. I mean, just a thought.
Exactly. And, you know, here's the thing. The drugs that they give for irritable bowel, IBS, IBSD, IBD, all Crohn's, all of those things, those are autoimmune diseases. It means our body is attacking itself. Our own immune system is attacking our body. The only drug they give for those is immunosuppressant drugs. So all they're doing is knocking down your immune system so it doesn't attack your body as much. And it helps the symptoms a little bit, but it opens you up to all kinds of other problems. I just saw on the news last night, there's a student here in one of the Portland high schools that was diagnosed with tuberculosis. Tuberculosis is a risk of any immunosuppressant drug. You suppress the immune system and you open it up to TB. So here's a disease that almost wiped out populations 100 years ago, and now it's making a comeback. We had eliminated TB. It was gone. And now it's making a comeback because we have so many people with autoimmune issues, and they give them immunosuppressant drugs.
Yep, it's crazy, but we're not going to do that because we're going to be crazy and train for Ironman, aren't we, Melissa and Kim?
Oh, my gosh. Half first. Let's get the half done first, please.
Well, I'm just using that as a general term. So,
Oh, okay. You scared me.
So, yep, that's what we wanted to tell you. So, hopefully we'll have the medals to show.
Excellent. No doubt.
I love that idea. Hey, Kim, this has nothing to do with what we're talking about on the show right now, but when the twins were living here with us and I would do my show on the balance board and they were always up on kind of like the second floor landing up there, and they would stand there at the railing and hold on to the railing and just stare at me for the whole 2 hours I would do the show. They were just like fascinated by it. And it was so cool. And I have an update on that. So I'll tell you that right
when we get
from this break. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim Cockerham is here with me. So the twins don't live here anymore, so I don't get to see them nearly as often. But Michael, my son, their father, is listening to the show right now. He listens every week and is usually always texting me ideas and cool stuff. But he just texted me a picture that while he's sitting there listening to the show, the twins are listening too. So it's kind of cool.
That is so awesome. Aww.
Yeah, that they listen to the show. I used to think, you know, that I'd look up and they'd be standing there at the railing just staring at me. And I think that must be odd for them, wondering why the guy's standing down there on that funny board with something on his head talking to himself for hours.
Yeah, that's funny. I'd love to see their faces.
I know. Yeah, so let's, we still have lots of calls. Let's get to some. We're off to Virginia. Matt, welcome to the program.
Well, good afternoon, Kim and Kevin.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Hey, Kim, if you remember a regular podcast show you did probably a couple months ago with Jimmy Moore.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I asked Jimmy about bone broth and making it from pigs because we were sending several to the butcher. And after asking the butcher for extra bones to bring home, found out why you don't hear much about it from pork bones. And that's because most of your pork cuts are all bone in. They don't debone very much pork meat. So there's really not a whole lot of bones to get when you butcher a pig.
Yeah.
Ah, interesting. Now, I will say when I make bone broth, I try to throw in any, I mean, I do mixed bone broth. If I have a chicken, you know, I get pastured chicken, so I'll save and freeze those bones. Fish carcasses, if I do any whole fish, I'll keep those. So I throw anything in. If I have pork bones, you know, even if you eat the pork chop or you eat a bone-in cut of pork, freeze the bone. I mean, yep. All the minerals and all the nutrients we want are still in the bone. So just freeze all your bones. And then when it's time to make bone broth, just throw them all in.
Well, what works really good for me, because I have a relationship with a butcher, is he's well, how many bones do you want? He'll give me all the beef bones
nice.
I want. So
there you go. Yeah.
And then the last group of pig we brought in, most of the people didn't want the liver, so I took it. So the butcher asked how much liver I want too, because most people just throw it away. So
right.
I get bones and liver all I want for free.
Get
there you go.
Butcher.
Yeah. since you didn't have a book review on this show, I'll give you a recommendation. This one goes, you know, depending upon what certain people want to listen to. The name of it's The Soil Will Save Us. And it stretches a little bit on the environmental side and, you know, the environment side of it. But talks a lot about bacteria in the ground and even the CO2 sequestration that planting grasslands actually fixes that.
Yeah. It's kind of amazing how nature really had all of this stuff figured out long before we thought we got so smart and messed it all up.
Yep. But the reason I thought of that book is the other topic I wanted to talk about today was the omega-3 ratios with grass-fed beef.
Yes.
Because James had posted on the Destination Health page the other night about some article he posted actually recommended buying grain-finished beef to be better off, and that made no sense to me.
That does make no
sense. For health reasons, it makes no sense. The reason commercially they do that is because it marbles the fat more, and it'll change the flavor a little bit for easier cooking. Not necessarily better, but easier cooking.
Well, and it makes the animal fatter, right? And everything in animals, the fatter they are, the more they sell for, because they sell by the pound, and it's just a quick way to fatten them up.
Yeah. So, driving late last night, my mind goes crazy, and a lot of things I've read kind of related all around cows and grass-fed, but do you know why yellow cheese is so popular here in the United States?
I don't.
Or yellow or orange, whatever color you want to call it. Well, they dye it that way because most cheese naturally is all white.
Right.
Except for in the very springtime of the year when the cows are eating a lot of really fresh green grass, they get so much beta carotene in their diet that it'll start to get an orange tint naturally. But that's the only time of the year you'll get orange cheese naturally.
Right. Interesting.
So orange cheese is made naturally is your healthiest and most nutritious.
That makes sense.
In America, we just dye it all orange and say it's good, right?
That makes sense. Yeah, I get it. Huh. Interesting.
So one of the things in that book, The Soil Will Save Us, they were interviewing a rancher that he only raised small feeder calves in the spring and then would, you know, sell them off at a couple hundred pounds.
Right.
And he sells them by weight. So he would breed his cows so they calve earlier in the spring, and he was burning all of his pastures every spring. So, that increases the grass growth right away in the spring.
Right.
And he figured he could gain 20 extra pounds an animal by doing that. But it was hurting the soil.
Right.
So I got to thinking about that. If we want to buy the best grass-fed beef possible, we would want to buy beef that's butchered probably around the end of June or 1st of July-ish at the end of spring.
Right.
Now, that's just my thought. I don't have any proof of that, but
that's no, that makes
the most fresh grass. Right. Yeah.
Because when you really read this, and if you talk, you've read Joel Salatin's books, and animals fed on grass are obviously healthier, but it's not a linear equation. The healthiest animal is eating the fastest growing green grass. You can see animals that are out on pasture, but the pasture is kind of brown and dead and But if it's lush, green, fast growing, that's the healthiest possible. And you're right, that would be in the spring. That's when everything is growing, it's lush, it's fresh. Animals feeding on that would be the healthiest. You're right.
That would have your highest omega-3 ratio would be right
and your
after
highest
spring.
And mineral content. Yeah, very, very good point. So it you know, and this is just part of, Kim, you and I have talked about this. This is such an ongoing thing. This isn't making a couple changes done. I mean, we are learning constantly, and there are better and better ways to do things. Now, we're not always going to be able to do things the best way, but it certainly helps to know what's better. And when you can do it, you should.
Yeah. And what's so cool about what Matt brought up is what I love is that he's thinking, and it goes back to your, like, the Wild Book, when you're just talking, makes you stop and think, like, why? And, you know, what would be better? And we just stopped questioning. We stopped questioning our doctors. We stopped questioning where our food comes from. And so it's time to back up and do that, get inquisitive and learn more. And yeah, that, I just think that's really cool how he does that.
Great point. You're right. We just stopped thinking and started listening to what everybody told us and not questioning anything.
Yeah.
Let's go to Virginia. Chris, welcome to the program.
Hi.
Hey there.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, I'm an administrator for Big Truck Cooking, and we are celebrating an important milestone in our Facebook group, and that is we achieved 5,000 members last week.
Wow.
So great.
Yeah, we're really excited about that. Darlene Williams Ventura and I are two of the administrators on there, but we are really big into a lot of the things that you believe in, such as staying fit and healthy. We have a sister group called Big Truck Health and Fitness. And
hey, Chris, hold that thought. The music's playing. I've got to get to a break, and I want to hear this. So we're going to come back and talk about that right after this. Stick around. I'm Kevin Rutherford. Welcome back. I'm Kevin Rutherford. This is Destination Health. Kim is here with me. Kim, I can't believe it. We're down to the final segment again.
Yes, it goes too fast, way too fast.
It does. So let's go back to Chris. Chris, go ahead.
Hey. We have a lot of people post recipes that they make on the truck. What people can make on the truck is absolutely amazing. We have people that came from being a chef at a previous job all the way down to somebody that just makes a bowl of cereal in the morning and posts it and everything in between. But like I said before the break, we have a sister group called Big Truck Health and Fitness, and that's where people walk around and they have those smartphone apps that measure how far they walk and where they walked, and they post that on there. So we're all about the healthy choices, wise choices, and we've got 5,000 members at Big Truck Cooking, and we're growing. And I'm kind of curious about the bulletproof coffee that you were talking about a couple segments ago. Where could I get that recipe?
We can post that. Kim, we can get that up on our Destination Health page, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and
Chris,
the one thing
I remember
say,
of.
Yeah.
I'm Go sorry, ahead, what?
I said, I hope you're a member of, Chris, our Destination Health page. And Kevin, a little tidbit, Darlene, who does the Big Truck Cooking with Chris, she was probably our first or second guest when we started Destination Health. She's just a real kind, humble woman that worked really hard keeping their Facebook page up. And it's neat because, Chris, I've even noticed you guys getting healthier stuff out there. You know, you welcome everybody and promote cooking on the truck, but it's you can see even in a couple years that things have gotten healthier.
Well, I think what the natural progression is people, first of all, don't think they can cook on the truck. And then when they see that they can, they might start off with prepackaged stuff, which we don't judge. We don't judge at all. And the reason we don't judge is we want them to go from the infancy stage of making prepackaged foods on the truck because it's easier and more convenient, and then graduate into the adolescence and adulthood of cooking on the truck that involves healthy, wise choices like you've been talking about for the last couple segments.
Yeah, and that's awesome. I love the fact that you guys do it that way. The one thing I just don't want to see people do is become so critical. You know, that they think you've got to do this perfectly. You don't. One of the things we try to talk about is start slow, make one little change in your diet, and then grow from there. So I love the way you guys do that. And, you know, I love to cook. I cook every day. I love everything about cooking, the presentation, the ingredients. And I was posting, you know, pretty regular, and I loved when I was doing it, because you guys do have a great group. You run it so well. The problem for me was it started taking up so much of my time. I mean, I'd be like, oh, okay, I could go make this dish and post it. And I'll go make this dish and post it. And pretty soon, that's what I was doing all day.
It's addictive.
It is. I know. You guys do run a great group over there.
Well, thank you so much. And I really love your show. And I know you do a great service for everybody listening, because as somebody who's an experienced cook on the truck, I'm listening, you know, as I'm in the call queue, and everything that you're saying is spot on.
Thank you. Thank you. So you hit 5,000. Let's encourage everybody who isn't a member to go become a member. So in a month or two, we can talk about you hitting 10,000.
That's correct, and thank you so much. It's Big Truck Cooking. That's truck is in singular, and we also have a sister group called Big Truck Health and Fitness.
Excellent. Go join both of them. Everybody, if you're not a member, go join.
That's right. Hey, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for the update. Kim, I was having a blast on their site. I was posting stuff all the time, and just people are sharing great ideas and tips and tricks. And I did love the fact that it's just very non-judgmental. Wherever you are, that was fine. And there are people there to encourage you and help you move to the next step.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Chris, send them over our way too. We'll welcome over Destination Health. And just, I think as a group, we just all lift each other up and help each other.
Great stuff. Let's go to Texas. Daniel, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kim and Kevin, great show.
Thank you.
I'm about out of time. I sent Kim a message about my cholesterol. I've been on the keto diet about a year, and my cholesterol came back, I think she said, 272 over 172, and she recommended I call in, and maybe she said it's more the ratio, right?
Correct. Do you have all of your numbers?
No. Well, that's the only two I have that she gave me.
Yeah. If you could get your results, what we need is total cholesterol, HDL, okay, LDL, and triglycerides. I need four numbers. And if you give me those four numbers, I can tell you 90% of what you need to know. The other 10%, probably would require a different test, but normally I don't even bother doing that. So from those four, I can tell you just about everything you need to know. So if you can get those over to us, just email them to Kim, and then next week we can have you on and we'll go through all of those.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right. Don't worry about the high cholesterol. That's kind of meaningless. give us the four numbers and we'll tell you exactly what you need to know. My guess is if you've been keto for a year, your ratios are going to be good. Let's go to Wisconsin. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hey, Kevin. Thanks for taking my call and all you do. You've been a great blessing to us. But, hey, I wanted to say I've been able to tune in a couple times to your Facebook Live broadcast of your show, and I was definitely a little disappointed not to see you on the balance board.
Oh, no, I'm on the balance board all the time.
Are you really? You just can't – I can't see it.
Yeah.
Okay. Can't, all right.
Well, you can, I don't have the camera set up so you can see my feet, but, I mean, you should be able to tell because I'm, like, spinning around and doing pirouettes and –
Okay. Well, I guess I didn't watch long enough. But, hey, the reason I called today is I have had what I call brain fog. I've never heard you really describe it, but I've had it for years to the point where I even went to the doctor and asked him about it, you know, really lightheadedness. I got my motorcycle up for sale because I don't feel safe riding it anymore. If I take some shrink wrap and go around the pallet two or three times, I'm ready to fall over just from, you know, lightheaded and confusion and all the kinds of different things. But it's developing now into physical problems too. I noticed a year or so ago I started dragging my left foot, which, you know, as I was really surprised. I've noticed trouble with my left hand. Like if I go to clean my glasses, I'm right-handed, so I take them off and I'll try to use my fingers to clean them with my left hand, and I just noticed trouble. But and some other things. But to give you a little history, I've been a vegetarian. Well, I was a vegetarian since the early 80s. I did the macrobiotic diet and just I got a ton of books. And when you started talking about the eating meat and stuff, my wife and I were scheduled to go to the CMC in Kansas City. And I told her, I said, you know, I respect Kevin and a lot of things, but there's no way I'm going to start eating meat, you know. Well, I ran into you at the hall after the CMC, and I told you after 30 years of being a vegetarian, I enjoyed my first bacon at the CMC.
Right.
So, but I don't know if you remember that, but I had a sling on.
I do, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a sling on because I had surgery where I had some nerve damage from a previous surgery. And they did some rearranging of nerves in my shoulder. I lost the use of my trapezius, and they stole a third of my pectoral muscle to try to reactivate that trapezius muscle.
Okay.
But anyway, so I thought maybe that might have something to do with my my left-hand side being all screwed up.
So since the CMC, have you been eating? Tell me a little bit about your diet. We don't have a whole lot of time. I actually think we're going to have to do this again next week because you've got some things that I know we can absolutely fix, but we're going to have to dig a little deeper to do it. But in the time we have left, kind of give me an idea of how you're eating right now.
Well, we started eating a lot of meat. We're trying to eliminate grain, although I'm too skinny and my wife is trying to lose weight. So I will cheat. Like if I get away from her, I'll have a cookie or something like that just to try to put on a little bit of weight.
Let me warn you against that because it only takes a little bit of grain. And I think grain might be one of your underlying problems. It's either grain or it's some other food sensitivity. Neurological problems almost always come back to a food sensitivity, and grain is one of the worst. The grain isn't really going to help you gain weight. I mean, we can gain weight much healthier ways. I would avoid the grains completely for now. But I don't want to rush this. Let's get you back on next week. In fact, let's start the show with you next week because I think this is a great topic. And I think we can help you a lot, but I need more time. So let's plan on doing that. And we'll see you next time. Be safe. Be profitable, be fit and healthy, always do the hard work, and master the journey. I'm Kevin Rutherford. All right. Great show, Kim. Thanks, everybody. And we'll see y'all next week.
Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Kevin.